As you're turning to 2 Timothy, I want to tell each and every one of you who've come to service this morning, this is a very unusual message. I'd be honest with you, I didn't like it. Still not sure whether I like it or not. I've tried to argue and wrestle with God about whether I'm going to preach it. As a matter of fact, I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, I just don't like this message. I don't like the order of it because it's totally different from the way I usually get things together. And I woke up this morning and I thought, well, I'll just go to my vault. Every preacher has a vault. Don't let your preacher lie to you. He's got a vault. You hear me? Well, what are you talking about, a vault? Well, I was a preacher 4.5 years before I came here, and I've got all those messages in the vault. And I thought, well, I'll just go to the vault this morning, and I'll figure, okay, you know, there's something in there I can, and God will, you know, I can preach. And I came in and I looked over the notes, and God says, no, I want you to preach this. So I want you to know it's kind of different. It's kind of unusual. It's not the way I normally preach, but it's what I really believe God wants us to hear this morning. Amen? Amen. And if not, you can just sit there and go to sleep. Some of you are ready to go to sleep anyway. Now, if somebody's sitting next to you and they go to sleep, why don't you just nudge them a little bit? Okay? All right. Now, last week, I told you that I'm getting close to taking another fast from all media and all social media. Anybody else there yet? Amen. I'm getting close. I feel that I've almost reached my limit of stupidity that I can absorb. Anybody else there? I mean, it's right up here to my goozle pipe. It hadn't come out yet, but it's getting ready to. Now, I told you that to my embarrassment, that I now realize that my biggest issue I have with all the media and the social media and all the stuff that's taking place in the world is I'm looking at this world as an American and not as a Christian. That's easy to do, isn't it? Even preachers do it. We look, you know, well, I'm an American. This is how I feel. This is what I think should be taking place. And I'm an American. Well, no, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian first. You hear me? But so I had to change my mindset. We also learned that our example, my example, is not this world or the leaders in this world. Praise God, they're not our leaders. My example is Jesus, and He is my first example, and He's your first example. And listen, if we would look at Him instead of the issues that are taking place, our lives would be a whole lot easier. It'd be easier to watch the news at night, wouldn't it? Because Jesus is still in control. This morning, I want to address a question that I've asked myself, and I'm sure you've asked yourself, and I've been asked by others many, many times, and it has a lot to do with the message that I preached last week, or it really comes together. And this is the question: when is all this madness going to end? When's it going to end? And listen to, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about politics. I found something and I posted the other day. It was a patriot walking behind a donkey and an elephant and grabbing both of them. And he says, I've about had enough of the both of you. Amen? Yeah, we're patriots as Americans. I believe everybody who is an American, who loves being American, we ought to feel this way. I'm about sick of both of them. I'm not talking about politics this morning. You know, when is all this madness going to end? I'm not talking about the economy. You know, anybody else upset with the economy and the work condition? And you know, I don't know about y'all, and I'm not saying it's about my church. Y'all have taken care of your pastor. You love your pastor. But listen to me. Have you ever noticed that everything is going up? Everything is going up except for the paycheck. Y'all notice that? Everything. I never in my life thought I'd have to pay $4 a gallon for milk. It comes from a cow. I mean, we don't have to go to the Middle East and drill for it. It's a cow. $4 a gallon. I'm not talking this morning about the economy. I'm not talking about all the wars and rumors of wars and all the killings that are taking place. I'm talking, when is all this madness going to end? I'm talking about when's Jesus going to come. Because that's when all the madness is going to end. Y'all know this, right? It's only going to get worse. If you're hoping and praying, oh God, just help us to get through the next 2 years so we can elect another president, and this guy, he'll come in and he'll make all the wrongs right and all the rights wrong. Y'all, listen, y'all are delusional. It's not going to take a president. It's going to take a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he comes, all things are going to be made right. And until then, we're sliding down a slippery slope. It's only going to get worse. Brother Kyle, I just don't believe that. It's got to get better. Read the book of Revelation. It's not. Listen, but if you're in Christ, there's hope. That's the only place there's hope, is in Christ and Christ alone. So when is all this madness going to end? Now, I've got a bunch of little scriptures that I'm going to read, and I might, if I feel led, I'll go into them a little bit, but if I don't, I'm just going to keep on going preaching, all right? Y'all just stay awake. Stay awake. Hey, stay awake. You ready? Are you ready? How many of y'all have asked that question when you've turned off the news or you've just eaten something and you just processed something? Hey, you're thinking, when is all this madness going to end? Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. Some of y'all are still confused. You don't know, but hopefully you'll get it later on. Matthew 24:36 says this, "But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." So again, every time I preach a message on eschatology, that's the coming of Jesus. I want to tell you, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't have a clue. But I think it's close. I think it's really, really close. Well, all you preachers say that, y'all. You want to scare. Listen, if I thought I could scare you out of hell and into the arms of Jesus, I'd scare you. But I can't. It takes more than being scared. It really does. But I think it's close. I think we're close. And I'm going to show you this morning how close, if you'll pay attention. Listen, Matthew chapter 24 says this, "Therefore, you also must be ready." You must be ready. You must be ready. "For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect." Scripture says that we are to be ready. There's no person that is breathing oxygen on this planet that is excluded from this scripture. You're to be ready. Now, let me ask you something. If this afternoon a gust of wind blew off the coastline of Africa in a swirl, y'all with me? And it started to form storm clouds, and it's heading across the Atlantic Ocean. You're going to watch the news tonight, and some newscaster's going to say, there's a possible hurricane building off the coast of Africa and heading towards the shores of the United States. And they'll give a projection from the wind trajectory, and they'll say it could be hitting the coastline of Florida or Savannah or South Carolina, or, you know, they'll give a trajectory. Now listen to me. If tonight it's going to hit, you know, portions of Savannah, there ain't going to be any of that $4 milk in the grocery store. There's not going to be a battery to be had. You cheapskate people who don't want to go without power, you'll go spend $500, well, they'll jack it up to $700, on a cheap generator. Why? Because you want to be ready. Now, the smart people will get in their cars and drive to God's country, South Carolina upstate, and get away from it all. Sometimes them hurricanes will chase you down, though. Hurricane Hugo in 1989, they'll chase you down. But you'll get ready. Scripture tells you that you better be ready. That Jesus is coming, and you better be ready. Well, how in the world can you be ready? You would better accept Him as your personal Savior now. Amen. Right now. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Be ready. Good gracious, we prepare our lives for so many things, but this event. Scripture says you better be ready. Church, last year I preached a message from Matthew chapter 4 concerning the parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24:32-35 says this, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near at the door." Jesus is near at the door. He's coming. "I assure you, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things take place." Church, we learned that the fig tree is a type or a picture of Israel. Israel, that's exactly right. And that Israel became a nation on May 14th, 1948.
And if this scripture does truly correlate with the birth of Israel, then the clock for Jesus to come started ticking then. Tick, 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 tick. Preacher, what do you think it means? Well, I told y'all then. Jesus said, I'm just a man. If you say something, ain't nobody going to listen to you, are they? They don't listen to you. I listen to you. I love you. Caleb, when you're on the football field and you see the defense lining up in a certain way, you try to turn around and tell the boys, hey, listen, they're coming. The second middle linebacker, he's coming. Do they listen to you all the time? Sometimes, but not all the time, do they? I'd listen to you. I would. But you know, we don't listen a lot to man. We don't listen to each other. Amy doesn't listen to me. Lord knows she ought to. That's scriptural, isn't it? But she doesn't always listen to me. She doesn't, Jeff. I don't know why. But when Jesus said it, you better listen. You better listen. I mean, there's a lot of people I don't listen to. A lot of preachers I don't listen to. There's a lot of preachers y'all ought not listen to, too. You hear me? But when Jesus said it, you better believe it. You better listen to what he had to say. And he said, this generation shall not pass away. Well, who is it? You know, I learned that one of our leading church members was born in 1948. Youth, y'all pay attention. Y'all with me? Mr. White was born 1948. Were you not?
Yes, sir, I was.
Now, is there anybody else in here who was born in 1948? Please raise your hand. Raise your hand. There's Miss Dale. She was born in 1948. Mr. White. Listen to me. Jesus wasn't talking to these people in front of him. He says, all right, guys, listen, this generation right here, they won't pass away until my return. No, he was talking about Israel. When Israel becomes a nation, what year? 1948. This generation shall not pass away until my return. If you want to take it from that literal perspective, you better watch Mr. White. Better watch Miss Dale back there. When they start getting up in age and they start heading towards, you know, the grave, the clock's ticking. It's ticking. I mean, look at Mr. White. The man's got more broke than he's got fixed. But his wife still loves him, don't you? You better be ready. He said, be ready. I mean, we're close. Now, I believe with all we know, Christ, about Christ's second coming, is close, but the realization, the relation to this message I preached last week, we can see from everything that has taken place, another indicator that we can look at and embrace, other than the rise of Israel, that Christ is coming soon. I believe that we can look at another indicator that Scripture gives us. Do y'all want to hear it? Do you want to see it? I mean, all of that was just pre-qualifying. And I've got to hurry. I've got to go. I've got a lot to preach. If Jesus is coming soon, I want to know. Anybody else? Anybody else? I mean, if he's coming, I want to know. I definitely want to know. Paul gives us a scripture that will enlighten us to what will take place in our culture if we will look very closely. It tells us what the culture is going to look like when the time is near for Christ's return. So, have you ever found a picture of yourself from the past? Kenny, I know this has happened to you. Found a picture of yourself from the past and said, ooh, golly. Now, I look at pictures from my past and I'm like, man, I was a lot better looking than I am now. I mean, all the pictures from my past, I had hair. I did. I mean, that, I mean, I I'll just stop there. I had hair. That picture was a timestamp of history that proves that you were who you say you were, that you looked like what you looked like years ago, and what you were doing, whatever it is that you were doing, this picture is a timestamp of who you are. Now, Paul paints such a picture for us that we would know what the culture is going to look like when Christ returns. Listen to me, church, it's very real, very accurate, and honestly, church, it's very disturbing how close it's getting ready to hit home. Y'all with me? I didn't write this. I'm just reading it and preaching it. Scripture says that this is what the culture is going to look like when Christ is about to come. Are y'all ready? Y'all want to see it? You want to see that picture? Okay, look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1 says this. But know this. Difficult times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Let's hit that one again. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of religion but denying its power. Avoid these people. Now, I told y'all this is an unusual message. Let's touch them just a little bit. And I've got to move. I've just got to, hey, Caleb, I've got to stick and move, baby. I've got to stick and move this morning. Y'all with me? That's football terminology. Y'all might not know what football terminology is. Larry, you know what? You good? Okay. Did that scripture startle you? We're talking about the culture, what our culture is going to look like in the time of Christ. Brother, I didn't get that. Let me just read the first sentences again. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. Difficult times will come. Well, what is he talking about here? Let's briefly look at these future events and see how close we are. Y'all with me? You ready? Number one, scripture that we just read says people will be lovers of self. Does this sound familiar? People will be lovers of self. Think about all that we do and the amount of money we spend on ourselves. Think about it. Think about the money that we spend on food, clothes, medi and pedis. Think about how we just lavish ourselves with luxuries. Look at even our churches. Listen, if we did not meet up to comfort levels in a church, y'all wouldn't be here. Some of you ain't coming back tonight anyway. You know, I've got to have air conditioning. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. No, you don't. If we didn't meet certain comfort levels, y'all wouldn't come back. You would not. I really wish that y'all would listen. Go to Africa. Go to Nicaragua. Most of the churches are open-air churches. Well, I couldn't do that. I mean, bugs might get on me. Y'all with me? The only air conditioning these churches have are maybe they might have ceiling fans. There was one church I went out to way out in the bush of Africa, and I'm talking about it was in the bush. You couldn't even see the church from the bushes. It was out in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have any, they didn't even have any wind blowing through there. It was hot. I wonder how many of us would come to church. How many? The scripture says we are lovers of self. We have to comfort ourselves, don't we? We really do. It goes on. I've got to go. I've got to move. It says we will be lovers of money. Lovers of money. Now, church, I want to applaud y'all. 3 weeks ago, I preached a message on tithing is a blessing. And since then, I don't know what we took up this morning, but the past 2 weeks, boy, we've been trucking. God has blessed us. But Scripture says in the time of my return, people will be lovers of money. Do y'all think we live in that time? Are we getting close? I mean, that money just makes us do everything that we do. It amazes me. I wonder what the church would look like if people spent as much time at church working for Jesus as they do for themselves. Got to stick, got to move. I've got to move. Hey, Scripture says that in the time of my return, people will be boastful and proud. Look what I've done. Listen, can I remind you that all that you have, even the breath that you just took, came from Jesus. And without Jesus, you wouldn't have anything. Amen. Nothing. I love it. I mean, I've done so many funerals since I've been a pastor, and there's never been a time where I've opened up and looked at the person who's in the casket for the last time and seen a checkbook or wads of money or cars or car keys. Listen, they're laying in there by themselves. That's all you take in with you. But we spend our whole lives trying to make that almighty dollar, don't we? Scripture says that in the time of my return, there will be blasphemers. Now, y'all hold on for a second, because I'm going to stick here. I'm not going to stick and move. I'm going to stay here for a while, Caleb. Is that all right? I'm getting ready to tee off on this one. Blasphemers. John Phillips says the Greek word for blasphemers refers to all kinds of slanders, reviling, and abusive speech, especially evil speaking about God and sacred things. Now, I want to just, you know, say two things here. Especially our generation, and I've heard preachers in the pulpit cussing. Come on, really? My promise to you is this: if a preacher ever comes and he ever cusses in the pulpit, he ain't coming back. If we're in the middle of revival, day one, I'm gonna be respectful. He's gonna go ahead. I'm gonna let him go ahead and finish preaching. But that's it. You know who's gonna finish out the revival? Me. Listen, a cuss word is a cuss word. Watch your mouths. But let's go to the blasphemies. We'll be blasphemers. What do the Ten Commandments say about God and blasphemy? What does it say? Huh? No. What does it say? Don't take my name in vain. Bob, I want you to help me with this, because Bob's our football coach and our wrestling coach. Well, people have this thing, Miss Janelle, they think, well, when you blaspheme God, it's when you say G-D. That's how you blaspheme God. No. Listen, it's when you call on God's name unnecessarily. The only time you ought to call on God's name is when you're on your knees trying to get his attention to hear your prayers. That's the only time you need to call on his name. And I've told my Wednesday night crowd this. This is how serious the Jews took the scribes when they were writing the name of God. Every time they came to the word Jehovah, they would stop, put their pen down, go and sacramentally just wash themselves. Just wash themselves. Put on clean garments and come back and write his name. If two or three, you know, verses later they had to write God's name again, they would go back and wash again, put on clean clothes. Listen. That's how serious it was. We don't need to be blasphemers. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm not a blasphemer. How many of y'all smash your finger in a car door and say, Jesus? Hey, listen, that's blaspheming. How many of y'all are on a football field and have a blown play and somebody says, Jesus Christ, that's blaspheming? What, we don't hold his name holy. Blasphemers in the day. And listen, I could go on. It's gotten a whole lot worse. You don't have to go far in our day and time to hear God's name trampled. Really. In the time of my return, there's going to be blasphemers. Youth, listen to me. There's also going to be disobedience to parents. We don't have a problem, do we, youth? We don't have a problem. Yes, we do. We really do. Being disobedient to our parents. Now, listen to me. Hey, part of the problem is not the children, it's the parents. Listen, parents don't want to be parents anymore. They want to be friends of their children. What most of the children in this world need right now, what they need is a spanking. If you have not spanked your child, well, listen, I've got a beautiful child. I've never had to spank them. Open your eyes. Scripture says they are born into sin. So listen, go, if you've never beaten your, go home and beat them. Hey, mine I've got a 21-year-old, a 19-year-old, and an 18-year-old. And I'm telling you, they cross the line, they're going to get a beating. Really? And they're getting close. One of them anyway. Not calling any names, but their initials, Emily Catherine. Got to move. Scripture says that in the time of my return, there'll be people who are ungrateful. What does this mean? You're not happy with what you are, who you are. You're always wanting more. Upset that anyone has something better than you have. Let that one sink in a little deeper. Hey, honey, hey. Did you see the Smiths just, I mean, look what the Smiths got. Man, look. Man, they've got jet skis and a boat, and they've got a mobile motor home, and they've got two new cars. And, we've got to do something. I know what you can do. Not have the debt the Smiths have. It's called being happy. Right? Listen, ungrateful. He goes on, he says, unholy. In the time of my return, this culture is going to be unholy. I could just skip on, I could just keep on preaching now because we live in an unholy society. Listen, what that means is you will not obey the commands of God or walk towards the path Christ has for your life. You all have a path that God has for you. Well, I don't like doing it God's way. Let's see how that works out for you in about 50, 60 years. I don't understand why I'm so miserable. I don't know why I'm so unhappy. I don't know why I have to drown my sorrows. I don't know. Because you're not following God. Listen, follow God. I promise you it's going to be a whole lot easier, a whole lot happier. I've counseled with people. And, you know, listen. Everything y'all do, y'all know I hear about it, right? Preacher, I'm concerned. I need you to pray for Jennifer. I notice that she's getting older, and she's starting to get wrinkles. And that baby, you know, that baby, she's taking up all her time. I need you to pray Jennifer doesn't start being unfaithful to the church. I hear it all, listen. There's sometimes where, you know, I throw my hand up and say, oh, no, listen, I don't need to know about stuff like that. Preacher hears it all. I hear it all. Listen, be holy because God is holy, right? We live in a godless generation. Strive. Listen, God has a path for each one of your lives. If you want to be miserable, walk with the world. If you want to be miserable, walk with the world. These people come and say, preacher, I don't know why God is doing what he's doing to me. I want to raise my hand and say, I know, because you're not doing what God told you to do. It's easy. It really is. As a pastor, listen, 1 + 1 = 2. That's exactly right. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, some of these upstate people from South Carolina, they don't know. They're just saying, I don't know. 5 + 5 is, hold on, just them. 10, that's exactly right. See, listen. This is how easy it is what God is telling us. Listen, if you want to do things your way, God is such a gentleman. He's not going to make you do things his way. Go ahead and do things your way. But you're going to reach an end, and it's close to destruction, or it is destruction, and you're going to find yourself saying, what in the world have I done? Because it's cost you way too much, it's taken way too much of your time, and it's destroyed who you thought you really should be. You can do that, or you can, right here, plan number A, just follow God. 1 + 1 = too. It's that easy. Why in the world don't you just follow God to begin with? He has a plan and a purpose for each one of your lives. Now, I've got to go. I don't even know where I am now. Okay. Number 9, irreconcilable. Even if you try to make things right with some people, they don't want to mend fences. Anybody have any friends like that? Oh, yeah, I do too. Number 10, they're slanderers. People will run people through the mud and keep right on going. How many of you have you watched celebrity gossip shows? Any of y'all in here watch celebrity gossip shows? Nobody's going to admit that in church. No. How many of you watch them soap operas? Oh, y'all ought not be watching them soap operas. You hear me? Watching that trash junk, y'all don't even listen. Have y'all ever noticed on like Entertainment Tonight and E! And all that, they don't ever report on somebody, you know, a celebrity. Boy, this celebrity is he's doing so good, and you know, he hasn't gotten any trouble. He's a wonderful human being. No. They don't report on this person. He is a nice guy. He's done this and this and this. Nice guy. No. They don't do that. They want to go over here and report on this one. Look here, so-and-so, she found drunk in a dumpster out back behind a building. I mean, that's what they want to report on. Well, I mean, think about this past week. All you heard about was a celebrity hitting his girlfriend at the time in the mouth in the elevator and knocking her out. Now, if they would have been sitting there reading Bible scriptures, you think that would have made TV? No. If they'd have been praying in the elevator, you think that would have made the TV? No. Listen, we live in a generation that loves to hear about slanders. I've got to move. Number 11, no self-control. These are people who know what they're doing is harmful, not only to them but others, but cannot or will not stop doing it. I've got to go. I can't even elaborate on that. Number 12, brutal. Y'all watch the movies lately? Time of our Lord's coming, that this generation, this culture will be brutal. Any of y'all watched a movie this lately? Good. Not, unless there's blood and guts and gore, they don't film it. Brutality is unbelievable. Is it not? Got to move. Without love, he says these people will be without love for what is good. Let me read that one again. Without love for what is good. Am I the only one who is seeing that our society is calling good bad and calling bad good? What in the world is taking place? I'm just about done with the list. Listen, it says that there'll be traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let me read that again. This generation will be traitors, reckless, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All I have to do is point in two directions to point this to make my point clear. Washington, D.C. and Hollywood. Do you hear me? Are we getting close? Last one. The last one should hit home with us today. It should shake us and wake us. The last one says this: holding a form of religion but denying its power. These people will tell you that they believe in God, but nothing in their lives supports that fact that they are relying on God for anything in their life. Listen to me. True religion is not religion at all. It's knowing that without a doubt that you cannot live a second without Jesus. Not a second. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say, you know, they'll come in here and they'll sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." They'll come in here and sing and they'll cry, but you can't get them to do nothing, to say nothing. They want to tell you how much they love Jesus, listen, but they're devoted to Him on Sunday morning only. They don't want to learn anything new about who Jesus is and what He's doing today. Listen, tonight is a great example. We are getting ready to start studying the book of Daniel. Amen. Listen, if you don't understand Daniel, and you'll hear me say this tonight if you're here, if you don't understand what's taking place in Daniel, it's hard for you to understand any New Testament prophecy whatsoever at all. You're in trouble. Be here. Come. Well, I don't know, Brother Kyle. You know, Falcons are playing late. So what? Most of y'all got a DVR anyway. Hey, listen, do you have a form of religion that makes you feel comfortable, but you're not learning anything, you're not doing anything, you're not motivated to do anything, you don't want to help anybody, you don't want to do for anybody, you don't want to teach anybody? Listen, evaluate yourselves. What can we learn from what we've just read? Church, we're very close to the time of Christ's return, and you better be ready. Did y'all hear what I just said? We're very close to the time of Christ's return. I mean, this is what culture is going to look like in the last days. Does it not look? Is there anything else that you need to read to see how close we are? You better be ready. Lost person, if you're lost and you know you're lost, if Christ were to come today, you will not have another opportunity to accept Him. Scripture says that you will believe a lie. You will believe the lie that Satan tells. You will take the mark. You will buy into what the Antichrist is feeding you. You will have no other opportunity. If you've heard the gospel and you've heard it today, and you reject the gospel and you walk out of here lost, if Christ returns this afternoon, you'll have no other opportunity. You'll be eternally separated from those who've accepted Christ and gone on to be with the Lord. Don't wait. Scripture says, be ready right now. Matthew 24:42 says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day our Lord is coming. Be ready. Be ready. Make sure that you're ready. Number two, we all need to take a close look at this list today and make sure that we're not practicing any of the things that Paul warned us about. Brother Kyle, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect either, but we need to look at the culture. We don't need to be like the culture, amen? Lastly, we all need to get busy. We need to get busy. Church, for the love of all that's good, we need to get busy. Jesus is coming. We need to start spreading the only good news this world desperately needs to hear. We need to get ready. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you this morning asking for your Spirit to move during this time of invitation. God, there's no doubt the Scripture's correct. It's true because it's your Word. God, we are really close to your return. Don't know how close. We don't know when, but Lord, according to all indicators, it's not going to be too much longer. Lord, help us to be about what you've told us to do. I pray that you'd be with that person who's here this morning and doesn't know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you'd be with that Christian here who's become complacent, not doing anything, and they know they're not doing anything. They know they need to do something for you. Lord, be with us this morning during this time of invitation. Bring us to our knees to where we need to be. Help us to fall back in love with you, not because of this message or because of who we are, but God, because of who you are. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?